the various problems which an auditor faces actually break down to this. Thought, the investment of things with meaning, the significance of meanings, and command. Well, evidently, there's a great deal to meanings and significances of meanings, because this in itself becomes data, which is a part of knowingness. And as long as data is a part of knowingness, we're going to have a difficulty with data. We're going to have a difficulty with meaning, with significance, with purpose, with dedication, with these various things. Yes, we're going to have that difficulty, but we can care for this in another department. Let's care for the bridge, the actual bridge, into a deterioration and into mechanics themselves. And let's go into that bridge and take a good look at it and recognize that we made people well by remedying command in the old days with engrams, and recognize that today the command value of the environment over the preclear and other such factors are themselves the primary address of the auditor. We recognize here that there's another section to the problem in that of meanings, significances, which is to say knowingness itself. Now, we're actually not trying to examine knowingness when we're examining command, but a relay of knowingness. When we say command, we're talking about a relay of knowingness. We're trying to get this thing to know it should start, stop, or change. And that, in essence, is the anatomy of a command. A command is a postulate which undergoes the process of being relayed and becoming another knowingness. All right, whenever we get into this situation, we get into usually a shortening of the CDE line, so we get the dwindling spiral. Now, there isn't any reason why this line's got to keep on shortening. Actually, a fellow could be so effective in commanding something that the line would lengthen. We see this in athletics. An individual's ability to regulate a body so as to regulate some piece of playing equipment, such as a ball or a bat, or a racing car, gets to a point of control where the control itself is sufficiently effective to bring about an actual lengthening of the line between C and E. In other words, he can be more and more relaxed about what he can do. He has built his own confidence out of knowingness. So he wouldn't get a dwindling spiral in this case. We would get a widening spiral. Where we have successful action then, we get an expansion of the ARC triangle. And where we get unsuccessful action, we get a contraction of the ARC triangle. When a person is commanding successfully, the triangle tends to expand. When a person is commanding unsuccessfully, the triangle tends to contract. The contraction of the triangle, however, is attended by an increasing bulk, an increasing mass, because command has had entered into it at this point energy, and the energy itself tends to make a condensation of space. That is to say, you just make that many more energy particles, and it makes that many more small spaces and so forth, and we finally wind up with an object. Now, an individual will do almost anything to make his commands good once he's caught into the snare of commanding and so forth. He assumes a more formidable identity. He assumes a greater loom, you might say. Here you get the preclear saying, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there. Actually, there's a whole race that rushes around saying, I'm there. They're completely gone as far as orientation points are concerned. They don't have an orientation point, which is why they do it. We have preclears, actually, who would, if given their choice, would stand in such a way as to block the window light out of the room, the sunlight out of the room. They would actually interpose themselves between sunlight and the room they're being audited in, if they think it over. If you had a TV set going, they would stand in front of it. If they were driving a car, they would block intersections with it, and so forth. This is an effort to assume this formidable state by which they can, at last, stop things. Now, the concentration is, at first, trying to start things. The next concentration is trying to change things. And the next concentration is trying to stop things. It's a quite similar curve to the cycle of action curve of the physical universe. An individual who is increasingly clumsy at starting things and increasingly convinced that things are liable to alter in their meaning or become destroyed because of their activity and so forth, will wind up trying to stop things. He's just got to stop this and stop that and stop something else. Now, he will dramatize all sorts of things, but they mostly sum up to the fact that he has hit the arrival point of the communication line. He's trying to be there at the arrival point. He's trying to say, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there, I'm there, when he knows very well he's not. He doesn't know where he is. Well, now he'll turn around and he'll try to become an effect. Now, he'll try to become an effect to this degree because he is now at the E point of the line. Sooner or later, then, he will drop into really being the E point of the line. Well, an individual, as he tries to function with command, tries to make things come about by reason of this start, stop, and change of objects and so on, will close terminals with what he is trying to command. In other words, he will shorten the distance to the degree that he is failing in commanding. If he isn't making his postulates, which are command postulates, stick at the arrival point of the line, then he will himself approach the arrival point of the line, first with energy particles and then with solid masses. He will walk up to it and hit it, in other words. An example of this, an individual tries to order somebody around for his own good or any other reason, any other meaning or significance. He tries to order somebody around. This person doesn't order around, and he'll get closer and closer to them. And the person doesn't obey his orders and doesn't obey his orders. Well, the individual trying to order him will get closer and closer, and he finally wind up by hitting him, which is the total closure. Now, when he has fallen away from this, he will get closer and closer, but he won't hit. He knows better than to do that because his commands are not effective anyway, and the hitting, of course, deteriorates the whole situation by altering the meaning of the thing he's trying to command. It changes its form, in other words. He's affected change by destructive action. And you will find this individual then getting further and further away from things he's trying to command. See that? I mean, he tends to back up from people he's giving orders to. He kind of wants to cut and run because he knows these things won't obey him anyway. Well, that is the exact mechanism of an inversion. The individual has closed down the line once from C to E, and now he's opening the line back up. But is it actually distance? No, it's the distance on an effect basis. He's going back away from what was an effect point, now as a new effect point. And that thing which he failed to command is now a command point, and we get winning valence. There is the mechanism of winning valence. That which the preclear has failed to command, sooner or later will command him. And we can sum it up in a rather important little lineup, rather important little observation there. It shouldn't be dignified by more than an observation, but it's quite important. That which a person has failed to command will eventually command him. We find a baby, for instance, trying to command his father and failing and failing and failing and failing and finally taking Papa's orders. Then eventually, sometime later in his life, all this will key in and he'll go into Papa's valence. We find an individual stand off from a theta trap or something like this and say, yeah, 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 or disappear, go away, cave in, get lost, something of the sort, and it won't obey, and he'll close, 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 trapped. Now, there's a secondary consideration here. After he is actually trapped in it, he becomes the trap. He not only fails to command the trap and fails to escape from the trap, but he ceases to be himself and becomes the trap. And this is just your continuation of this inversion process. Why? The trap itself is surviving. And that is the highest level of survival. Now, the effort to command is bent toward a sort of an election by which we're seeking to attain the most ideal form of survival. In other words, this gets broken down to the point, though, of who is going to give the orders in this universe. We get a group of boys together, and they'll beat each other up until they finally find one they can't beat up, and he thereafter will give the orders, and all the other boys will tend to become like him. You get the formation of a gang, a military unit, a crowd. This is a common manifestation. You see what's happening here. You're getting the C to E distance closed and then inverted from. See, they tried to beat this boy up, which means they were closing terminals with him, closing terminals with him. They finally got down to a point of impact, pang, 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 and they found that these impacts were doing no good, which entered the conviction into the thing that their blows were ineffectual, and he was adamant against all abuse. And if he had merely been armor-plated enough and stood there long enough, why, he would have wound up commanding them. Thus, we get the activity of an idol in a temple. People couldn't do a single thing to it. They build those things out of bronze and granite and so forth. And the people come up the steps. And when children, their happiest thought is to go in and great God Yag or Spoofarar or Yahwah or some such thing is going to now disappear. Of course, that Yahwah, I shouldn't have entered that in because Yahwah is not a granite idol. Yahwah is the worship of space. He is kept in a box. There's also a piece of leopard skin in the box. I know I look. Anyway. This is Jehovah, by the way. That isn't really the proper way to pronounce it. It's a bunch of consonants with no vowels in between. And so you just take your choice on pronunciation. Now, here we have the granite idol, though. Being there, ready to be vanquished and so forth, the little kid comes in and he says, yeah, to it. And, you know, a little baby, something of the sort, he doesn't care about it. He just arrived in that particular life and he feels full of ginger with a nice body to grow and mass to acquire and people to make nothing of in all directions. And he says, yeah, to this thing. And by golly, it doesn't disappear. And he keeps on doing this. And his elders all convince him of its tremendous power and so forth. Well, it's tremendous power. The fact it's there, no matter how hard he hit it, it would never do a single thing he said. Never. Wouldn't do a thing he said. So it just winds up telling him what to do. And some priest can put a speaking tube into the back of its throat or something of that sort and say, you will now pay the priest 8 more gold dinars, you know. Religion. So you get the idol becoming a winning balance. Well, what about something you couldn't hit? Huh? What about something you couldn't hit at all? Supposing you're trying to command this thing, and you go in and you can't even find a place for your fist to sink in. There's no contact, and it's everywhere, every place, all the time. And you can't hit it. You don't know how to communicate to it, really, although there's people who, for a price, will show you how. It really doesn't, or does it, communicate with you. Believe me, this would be a really debased closure, wouldn't it? I mean, a fellow would close like that is like mad. And, of course, my introduction of Yahwah had nothing to do with this last remark of Yahwah as space. That would be a very aberrative situation. Actually, it is the final inversion of space. When a race or a culture gets into this state, it is on a final inversion of the line. Why final? It's final as far as self-determinism is concerned. See, you can't look at the stone idol anymore and have it say, of course, all this stuff is quite debased, and the individual, the whole race of culture is pretty bad off when they're going around taking orders from idols or empty space. I mean, you've got a ludicrous situation. It isn't even a serious situation. I mean, how can they get this crazy? They're going around taking orders from space and taking orders from idols. But where you had an idol, you at least knew what was talking. and it was generally written on the walls of the temple what the idol intended to do. You know, this idol is dedicated to the purpose of making all apprentice boys fertile or something. And this was fully inscribed there, and you knew that. So what it was talking about was never left in doubt. And you got a pretty good certainty in terms of the race. But after a while, they would decide that everything was so blurred that probably the temple had split up in the meantime. There'd been a lot of other idols suddenly appeared, and all kinds of things might have happened. An individual gets so confused after a while, he could be made to close terminals with space. And when you close terminals with space, we get the manifestation of buttered all over the universe. You've heard that phrase before. Closing terminals with space, of course, is impossible. So we get a terrifically debased situation where you never know who is talking or what they're talking about. And this, of course, is in disobedience entirely to C, distance E. We have to have a pre-clear knowing who's talking from where, across what, to which. And if we got that, why, we got a well pre-clear. He's happy then, cheerful. It isn't the communications is aberrative. It isn't the commands are aberrative. It's that the failure to command is aberrative. And as we see very clearly, the failure to command winds up in a senior survival. So we get the manifestation of senior survival, and people go around worshiping things which have tremendous survival. You go around, you find a book which has been in existence for 3,000-4,000 years. People practically bow down to this book. Because it says anything, it might say, Little Red Riding Hood went down the Nile and jumped into the bulrushes, and this is how we account for the fact that the Pharaoh's daughter has been careless. It's about all it might say. And yet people would worship that simply because it has duration. In other words, it's been able to be punished by a lot of people. They've been able to walk up to it and, you know, tried to command it. The fact that it's there says that people have tried to command it and tried to command it and closed terminals with it and closed terminals with it and tried to blast it and burn it and chew it, and that's that. They backed off then and said, what it says in that book is true. We get in some cultures a fairly high-toned manifestation known as the avenging lion of something or other, a Caesar, some character who's going to make the world safe for his particular family. And this character will actually attack such survival targets. The library at Alexandria was burned by Caesar, you know. Try to make a smoke screen, he said afterwards, when he was trying to account to the press for this. But it was burned by Caesar, and there disappeared some very, very important Greek plays and so forth that no other copies are in existence. We know a few lines of this play or that play, but it all disappeared in this library. Actually, to clear Caesar's name, it's rather in need of it since that last movie on the subject. I think they'd have to work hard to try to get his reputation into the clear. Now, he wasn't a bad guy at all. The library was burned 3 other times by 3 other guys with the same idea. Alexandria Library was burned 4 times. Now, this effort to destroy a book, to destroy a library, to destroy an idol, a figure, and so forth, is just this test of what's going to wind up commanding all of us. See? You get this continual election sort of an activity here. We get it in a group of boys. We get it in a universe. We get it any place. Who's going to wind up giving the orders around here? That's the main contest. Of course, it's totally baffling to people if what they're attacking isn't trying to give orders. This is probably the most horrible thing that you could do to anybody, is demonstrate after he attacks something it wasn't trying to give them orders anyhow. And although it has now survived and has senior survival, it didn't have any orders in mind. That'd be dreadful, wouldn't it? That shouldn't happen to anybody. Happening in Dianetics and Scientology. Anyway, here we have command, then, winning valence, and survival. And why do we get this fixation in the first place on somebody giving some orders? Why did anybody want to give any orders in the first place? Well, it must have been that his own survival has been challenged. Something wanted to give him orders. And he didn't want to give any orders in the first place. He wanted to stay sane, stay out of this mess, and just love everybody and have a good time and enjoy life and art and go along happily. And somebody kept trying to give him orders and give him orders and give him orders, and he backfired finally and found himself, whether he liked it or not, in a winning valence position, even if it was just over a puppy dog. He got in a winning valence position over a puppy dog or something of the sort. Puppy dog kept chewing on him, and he finally managed to kick the dog in the snoot hard enough so the dog said, "Okay, you give the orders now," and stood around expectantly waiting for the orders. Now, this is the manifestation which continually takes place and is the interweave of senior survivals, valences, exchanges of personalities, back in Freudian analysis, if they only knew it, that was transference. They didn't know it. This is people joining a group. There was some general in the Civil War said, if you can't fight them, join them. Must have been a Southerner. This boy had uttered a very, very basic philosophy indeed. Only it should be modified. If you do fight them and don't lick them, then you're going to join them, whether you like it or not. And this is the joining mechanism of who is going to give the orders in this unit, who's going to do this, who's going to do that. Well, now, it's very easy to mistake, then, the person giving the orders in the unit or group for the toughest or most survival person in the group. You know, we look around and we say, this guy is giving the orders in the group, therefore he must be the most survivor in the group. And we get some blubbery-mouthed old character like Claudius the First, outlasting all of the various dynasties and so forth of the early Roman Empire. And everybody's going by the boards with Lydia's poison and Augustus's daggers. And we get down, that's not historically accurate. Augustus didn't use a dagger. He hired men to use them. Anyway, every time they'd miss killing the right man, why, somebody else had wind up. We had Nero, Caligula, practically everything in that period there that we find the Christians using to condemn. I don't know why they have to keep on condemning Rome, but they do today. They're still mad at Rome. They're so mad at Rome, they don't even bathe. Rome bathed, you see. We can't be that valence. This is a case of just a hold-up where we're, you know, the cycle of action's not completed. We haven't done an inversion. We haven't found the senior survival yet. And we get, in that early Roman picture there, we get the fellow who was sitting back quietly, never giving any commands of any kind, and sort of standing back and just plain surviving as the fellow who finally wound up on top. And all this happened in a normal lifetime, from Caesar straight on through to Claudius the First. I mean, they were going down in windrows. And everybody was giving commands, and being flashy, and standing up and saying, I'm giving the orders now. And then one of the girls in the palace would slip him a slight potion, which had no love in it. And somebody else would be giving the orders the next day. And we get this highly turbulent picture in a highly colorful setting, but how is that different than a wolf pack? Or how is it different than a pack of men who are operating at this aberrated level? Because everything below an anxiety to command is aberrated as far as we can observe. As soon as we seek and have to command, just have to control, why, we, of course, get a warping of the ARC triangle. The triangle is already gone by the boards. We could just say for our own purposes, where is the break point on a case? Well, it's not neurosis. It's not psychosis. It's not tone this or tone that. It could be said everything below two, but we would say this would be terrifically, observably aberrated, you see? I mean, this is wild manifestation, what we're talking about. When we're talking about aberration, we just say this guy isn't functioning very straight. It would be the first determination on a sort of an anxiety basis about command in any direction. And that would be the entrance point of the dwindling spiral. And this would only succeed on the heels of having failed in the command of something, which makes something else a winning valence, which means the loss of one's own identity. The failure to command results in the loss of one's own complete determinism or identity. So the first aberration on the line would be marked by such an incident. And a person has lost his own identity. After that, he doesn't know who he is. He tried to beat this thing up, and it won. We get this kind of a crude manifestation here. We'd get the triangle then inverting. We'd get identity being lost. We'd get identities all stirred up. We'd get the necessity of the individual to become a symbol rather than to become an orientation point from which he could view. We'd get all these things occurring then under the condition of where did he cease to command? Clearly and with confidence. We could say that crudely. But it's actually where he started to command. Where did he get the idea he had to order things around? That's an interesting point on the track. How do you run it? Enough discussion. Let's be practical now. Let's get down to something worthwhile instead of all this talk. How do you run this? What would be the optimal way to run it? I was going to save this till later when you'd all become completely desperate. And then I was going to hand it out with a very proud, sort of diffident air, you see. And then you'd know sure as hell who was surviving around here, you see. But as I see your strained and anxious faces, and I see the turbulence and turmoil of your case, when I see the anxiety mounting on the part of the auditor, and when two or three auditors together go down to stores to buy poison or shotguns, well, I decide that we'd better have mercy. So anyway, it's a terrifically simple mechanism. We combine the winning valence or senior survival with command itself, in brackets. And there are several factors to the 8D system, which I haven't taken up with you, and which I will. But the command would be, very simply, where would commands be safe? Where would somebody else's commands be safe? Where would commands to other people be safe? So on. I hit that very lightly, but I don't want to give you the command this moment because it has a tendency to communication lag somewhat. Now, there is the hub, you might say, of the bridge between thought and mechanics. There it is right there. That is the bridge. It's not only the bridge, it's the beginning and the end of the bridge. And that's a method of running something like that. And you just, safe, you see, that means where would it endure? So that takes care of survival and command itself, orders, and so forth. You'll find the preclear starting to exert energy, and he'll all of a sudden discover that commands are a stuck flow with him. He's having any trouble. If he's in a body, he's simply having trouble controlling the body, that's all. So he's closed terminals with it to such a degree he has to be right there in order to control it. Now, there's more to this. There's the other thing, is what you get out of life. That's the backflow. And demanding things out of life and having them refused to one, bringing one into a condition where he starts to command. But this more or less gets taken care of in this type of activity. Now, there's one command in particular which is couldn't be used on a case to a limited degree. What is your ideal in survival? Give me some things which are surviving, some things which are creating, some things which are dying. Some things which are certain are dying, which know they're creating, and which are surviving. Some things which know you were creating, surviving, dying, so forth. You'd use the cycle of action. That's a very interesting and easy way to run it, but the more important way to run this whole thing is where are commands safe, in brackets. And that's all you ask, and that's the exact wording of the command. And you just keep that up, and you've got it. My variations on this are numerous, but that is the center of the road. Now you've got it.